We have a special guest in our studio here today, and our guest is a very important voice in our community, and she has a lot of titles in our community, but today we're going to dispense with all those titles.
Thank you.
And we're going to use one title today, and the title we're going to use is friend, good friend, my close friend, a friend whom I love. So my guest here today is my friend, Linda Colangelo. Hey, Linda.
Good morning, Gary.
How are you?
I'm privileged to be your friend.
Yeah, I'm privileged to be your friend. Over 30 years, we were trying to do some math, and we ran out of fingers.
We did run out of fingers.
Yeah. Been a long time, Linda Colangelo.
It sure has.
So we're talking yesterday and having a nice chat, and Linda says, geez, I'd like to come and talk about this on the air. And sure enough, out of a schedule where it's normally 3 weeks out to get booked here.
Easy.
Because I'm really popular.
It's like Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. There's an opening just like waiting for us today. So, 7 a.m. We decided this yesterday. So, Linda, what's on your mind today, hon?
So, you know, as you said, there's usually a lot of titles and a lot of messages that are going along with some things I have to say. But I wanted to share a Christmas story with your listeners today.
All right.
And you know, I know this is going to be really unusual for me, but, you know, I'm just going to start talking and probably not take a breath. So, you know, anytime you want to jump in, just do that. But
it's your show.
But I know it's, and it's something that you've been moved by too, Gary, and I have to start by just thanking you for, you know, the presence and the influence you are in not just my life, but so many lives in northeastern Connecticut. Because when we say people here get it, I think we say that in a special way. I think we have this connection that's flowing through all of us, and I just feel really good about it. So let me go back a few years and tell you my story that starts in 1978, when we moved to Putnam, that beautiful spot that we still hold today on the corner of Grove and Center Street. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's just a coincidence I live on Center Street because it tends to center me. But so shortly after we moved there, we have this little patch of grass as you go in the driveway, this little patch of grass on the right-hand side. It's about 200 square feet. And my dad decided, you know, we should plant a garden there. And so for years we tried, and nothing would ever grow in that little patch of grass. We planted gardens. We planted vegetable gardens and flower gardens. Nothing would ever come up. Everything came up all diseased and would last like 2 minutes and then just wither away. So, you know, and over the years we tried everything. We tried seed, we tried grass. One year we planted a magnolia tree for great grandma Tina, and the tree came up and it looked beautiful for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden it got diseased. It had this black mold on it and it got infested with flies. It was this really terrible, awful looking thing. I was even afraid to go by the tree. So my dad said, you know what, let's get rid of that tree. We cut it down and we started digging up the roots, and we're digging and digging and digging, and the deeper we went, the more black it got, and all this mold and infestation. So we finally pulled this tree out and were cutting up all the roots, and my dad says, you know, this thing seems like it goes right down to the center of the earth, you know? And I said, you know what, Dad? This is like a Lucifer pit. It's like it's satanic. It's just, you know, and that became our term for that little piece. It just became the Lucifer pit, and we abandoned it, and we never again attempted to plant anything there. Until 20 years later, 1998, my mom has a heart attack on December 5th, and it was surreal. We're forever grateful to Day Kimball Hospital, where we brought her. They stabilized her, but they packaged her up in life flight, and they flew her out to UMass, and I was, again, privileged to take that helicopter flight with her. And we flew right over our house. We're on the flight pattern from DKH to UMass. And, you know, when you have a feeling that there's a loved one and you're flying with them and they're in the back of a helicopter and you don't know if they're alive back there or not, it's pretty life-altering. Mm-hmm. And I prayed that day like I never prayed before. And flying over my house was a pretty surreal experience to do that. So, you know, we had God's grace that day, and my mom survived, and she's still here. But that year, we really weren't able to celebrate too much because of her physical condition. She was very weak. She was bedbound. And so we went out that year and we bought her a little teeny tiny tabletop Christmas tree. It was about a foot high. And we put it next to her bed. And it was one of those little, it had the roots, you know, a little bald tree. And Mom looked at that tree throughout her recovery, and we managed to keep not only her alive, but that little tree. And anybody who knows I don't have a green thumb, that's a pretty big feat to keep that thing alive. So, you know, here we are. We get through the holiday season and through the winter season, and it's springtime. And we decide we'd like to plant this little tree somewhere. So Laura and I head outside, and we look around the yard. We walk around the yard trying to figure, you know, where we're going to plant this. And we look over at that abandoned Lucifer pit. We both looked at each other at the same time and said, maybe, just maybe, if anything is going to grow there, maybe it'll be a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. So I'll never forget, it was a really, really rainy day, and I had grabbed a raincoat I hadn't worn in a long time, and I threw it on. We went out there, and Laura starts digging this hole and got the tree ready, and I reached in my pocket, and there was one of those little Gideon Bibles, you know, and I'm not going to get all crazy on you here, but there was this little Gideon Bible, and it was waterlogged because it was pouring, and so I took it out, I have it in my hand, and just, you know when they say the spirit moves you? Well, the spirit moved me. And I'm pretty sure this is blasphemous, and I'll catch a lot of criticism from people, but I ripped the pages out of the Bible, and I lined that pit with them. We didn't even have to say anything to each other. We just started spreading out all the pages of the Bible, and we put the tree smack dab in the center of it, covered it up. And Mother Nature was working with us that day, so she just watered it for us. So that was 20 years ago. And we put those lights on a tree as a tribute to my mom and her health, and just to be mindful of the blessings that we had in our lives that were still there. And so we said a prayer at that tree, and we let it go. And that tree took root, and it started to grow perfectly. Straight, tall, beautiful. And it's been 16 years since my mom's heart attack, and that tree stands there 16 feet tall. It's grown a foot a year. And I have to tell you that many moments have been spent in front of that tree. And now, you know, as you look up to it, you literally, when you look at the top, you're looking straight up to the
heavens. It's a beautiful, perfect tree.
So now there's a next chapter to the tree. So earlier this year, this summer, one by one, the lights started going off in that tree. And I'm very superstitious. So I started to get nervous. You know, my grandmother was approaching her 103rd birthday. My mom started off this year with a heart attack. You know, I was trying to read into signs a little bit. And I said, I gotta get out there. I gotta replace the lights on those trees, because I felt like everything fell on me, you know. Yeah. If I don't have lights in that tree, something bad's going to happen here. So, but it was summertime. I couldn't find lights. And by October, the tree was completely dark. And I got out there a few weeks later, and I put on 10 sets of lights on the tree, because, you know, they were finally out in the retailers. But the tree had outgrown me. And I couldn't get to the top of it. So I put lights on about two-thirds of the tree, and I just couldn't get to the top. It came off the ladder, and I was like, okay, now what? So I started thinking of, like, friends who own bucket trucks. I mean, there's a life, right? We're like, what friends have bucket trucks? And, you know, I came up with a few of them.
Absolutely.
So I had to put that on my list of, you know, who can I call? And I was thinking about that. A few days had elapsed. And on October 27th, we received some very difficult news. That my dad was facing a very significant health challenge. So I raced out to that tree, and I offered up my prayers again. And I realized that the top was still dark, so I knew I had to get the lights on the rest of that tree. And word started to get out about my dad, and had friends who had gone by and seen me struggling with the tree. And your WINY intern, Jacob Gerton, showed up with his mom one rainy afternoon, and he said, "Hi, I'd like to help you finish your tree." And I was so struck by his kindness. And it really gave me faith. You know, sometimes we tend to criticize kids like, "Whoa, where's this world going?" But Jacob Gerton became a light of Christmas for me. And it was kind of weird because it was a really rainy day, and I thought, I'm about to put this kid on an aluminum ladder and put electricity in his hands. And I thought the better of that. But Jacob scampered up that ladder just to see how high he could reach. And even with Jacob's height, the tree had outgrown him too, and there was about a foot that he couldn't finish. And I said, Jacob, come on off the ladder, and we'll get to this. And gave him a big hug and a kiss, and I told him how beautiful of a person he was. And so off he went with his mom, Kathy, who, wow, you guys did a great job raising him. Yeah. And so following some tests, my dad's diagnosis was confirmed on November 3rd, and that was a pretty rough day for all of us. So I took the day off the next day, Election Day, and we spent the day together. We went to vote, and my dad went to go get a haircut, and I got the ladder out, and I got a big pole, and I said, come hell or high water, I'm going to finish this Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I did, and as I was on the ladder, my dad pulled up after his haircut, and he got out, and he started helping me. And I snapped this iconic picture. I was on top of the ladder, and he was holding the ladder for me, and he was feeding the Christmas lights up to me. And snapped this picture that I'll forever treasure. And we finished it together the same way we started, that little patch of grass. And now we have this beautiful, iconic tree. And I was just moved that, you know, I think the metaphor for me with my dad holding those Christmas lights for me is that the light comes from all of us, you know, that we have faith, we have spirit. And this is non-denominational, you know, whatever God you choose to believe in, whatever faith you have. It's just the mindfulness that it's there, just like that tree. And this year, I just, on behalf of our entire family, all the crazy people at the Italian Wonder Kitchen, we wanted to offer up that prayer tree to listeners who either may be hurting or lost or just need some reflection. We live at the corner of Grove and Center, and if you're ever walking like you are, Gary, sometimes in the neighborhood just to admire the Christmas trees and the lights, come by and take a few minutes at that tree, prayer, reflection, or just maybe you need some quiet time in your life, because I know how crazy, you know, everybody's lives are running at this time. So, Gary, you offered up a prayer at that tree last week, and I can undeniably and unequivocally tell you that that prayer was answered. And these days, I'm actually aware of the many, many ways that God and faith is working in my life, and I offer him thanks and praise. And again, on behalf of all of us, including great-grandma Tina, who just turned 103, we wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year that's filled with health, happiness, and peace and love. And I want to thank my mom and dad for the greatest gift of their love, of just being there, just like that tree. So I want to say Merry Christmas. Thank you to your listeners, all the good that WIMY does in this community. Just keep letting the blessings flow.
And you know my mantra, because I've said it to you so many times. Where does the glory go, Linda?
The glory goes to God, Gary.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Glory goes to God.
I love you, Linda.
I love you, Gary.
Good story. So I can pray at your tree. You're not going to call the cops.
I'm not, no. I saw you out there, and I thought you were actually trying to disconnect the lights like you usually do on the front tree in the front yard. So, but this one in the back, I think you get it. I think you get that tree.
I was out there last Sunday night, and I'm like, oh, man, I hope no one calls the cops on me. You have to take a couple of steps into your yard.
Yes, yes, you
off
do.
The sidewalk. But, you know, and I took a picture last Sunday night. I was so moved by the beauty of that tree. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I was going to put it up on Facebook and talk about it. So I'm walking back home, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then I thought, maybe I shouldn't. It's kind of private. It's a private property. And then you walk in this week and say, hey, I want to come on the air and invite people to come pray at my tree. I'm like, yes, do
it.
Come on, let's go.
We were having that story. And,
this is great.
And I just thank you. I thank you for that. And, you know, and your discretion and just even that you would have that thought for us.
Because normally I have no discretion.
Exactly.
I
did
at that particular moment.
Put it right out there. So no, we said, you know what, for people who may be within the listening range of our voices today, but obviously don't have transportation or maybe can't get to 143 Grove, you know, you're going to post that picture.
I still have the photo right here on my phone, so may I post this photo?
You certainly can. And and even just in the cyber world, maybe people can just offer up their thoughts and prayers, and maybe we can bring some peace and mindfulness to the world.
Beautiful testimony from my friend Linda Colangelo.
Thank you, Gary.
For the holiday season, and the glory goes to God. And well done, Linda. Thank you.
Amen.
I love you.
Love you, babe.
It's 7:23. Good morning.
From WIMY in Putnam, happy holidays.